The following podcast is brought to you by HMO3. Surf's up! Hey everybody, welcome to Pokemon World Tour! I'm Josh.
I'm Jake.
I'm the guide.
I'm your host.
I almost said United, so I panicked a little and everything got messed up.
That's fine.
This is episode 15. I don't really know how we start these.
We're going to the Seafoam Islands.
Yeah.
We're taking a trip to the beautiful, tropical, negative 10 degree Seafoam Islands.
Tropical in like the North Tropics.
Yes. And tropical? Cold. That's not a word.
Nope. But before we hop on our new Lapras and head there, we have some Pokemon news.
Josh, we got a little tiny bit of news. What is it?
There's two little tiny little...
Two little morsels.
There is more Sun and Moon information coming out on June 2nd, which we will not be able to get to in a reasonable amount of time because I will be on vacation.
Josh will be out of the state that day, and then the next one going up, because we don't have time to record it, is going to be the spotlight episode that patrons will have already heard 2 weeks ago from then.
You know,
me shrugging at you.
You know how all that goes.
Yeah, time works.
So just keep an eye on our Twitter for that. I'm sure between the two of us, one of us will tweet about it.
Oh, yeah.
And then also, the website, the Pokemon Sun and Moon official website, has been data mined, because that's just what we do now.
No one can just like leave well enough alone.
No.
We can't just like wait for the surprise.
No, we hate that, but we also hate spoilers. We hate both things.
What is wrong with everyone?
The internet. I had a good conversation about this with my roommate the other day about how the internet's just kind of run everything into the dirt.
Yeah. I love it, but at the same time,
it's ruining everything.
It's just doing a bad job of things. We need to move on from the internet, get the extranet, where everyone's cool. Only cool people allowed on the extranet. So, in case you're curious,
wait.
There are spoilers coming up, okay? For real.
Everybody cool? They're like very minor, but they're still spoilers nonetheless, I guess.
Wonderful.
So it was data mined, and the only real information that came out of it is that it found a couple new type symbols. Not like brand new types, but type symbols.
Okay, it's not like kickflip type and,
and
kendo stick type. And
no.
Okay.
They didn't make Steve Blackman a Pokemon.
I mean, not yet.
Steve Blackman and Tony Hawk. Tony Hawk, king of the kickflips. I don't know if you knew that.
I don't feel like that's his jam.
No, that's more of a...
I feel like if you were going with someone, you would go like Rodney Mullen.
Rodney Mullen was who I was thinking
of. Who definitely invented the magic flip, which is a kick flip and a heel flip in one, and it's amazing.
Bucky Lassick, was he a street style skater?
No, he was also a vert.
He was vert?
He was also a vert.
Rune Glyphberg was also a vert. He's who I played as. Maybe he was street.
I feel like Glyphberg was street.
Rodney Mullen was who I was thinking of.
Rodney Mullen.
Tony Hawk was the only name I have on the ready.
Rodney Mullen's like a literal skateboard wizard.
Anyway.
Which, by the way, that idea is TM Jake Mason 2016. Skateboard wizard, don't take it. That's mine.
That might not be as original as you think it is.
I haven't heard of it.
That's true. Anyway, back to the Pokemon stuff.
Right, sorry.
You know how Rowlet is grass flying?
Yes.
And then Litten is fire, and Popplio is water.
Right.
Somewhere in the data of the website is fire ground and water fighting.
Okay.
So maybe that's the types for the starter evolutions, or maybe it isn't.
Is that a triangle? Does that make a triangle?
No, but it doesn't need to.
You're right. I feel like they should at least try.
Well, like, I mean, Gen 1 didn't have a second triangle. Venusaur got poison.
Right.
And then Charizard got flying, and Blastoise didn't get anything.
No, Blastoise made up for it in, like,
being able to beat them both with Ice Beam.
Yeah, just like got Ice Beam or Hydro Pump, depending on, you know, you pick your poison.
Right.
Okay, water fighting, that's what Greninja was.
Greninja's water dark.
Water dark, right. Okay, now I'm thinking, what if it's like a sea puppy clown boxer?
What if he's a strong man? What if they were tricking us with the clown
nose? What if each version is a different circus thing.
So he evolves into like a contortionist and then into a strong man?
And then from there into a strong man.
He's a strong boy.
What a strong boy he is. He is a dense boy.
He's very heavy. He also seems like, just from the animations they showed in one of the trailers, just like he's very proud.
Yeah.
So strongman might not be out of the question.
No.
And it would fit fighting type. This is all speculation. Yeah. Like, it might just be stuff they have in there.
Right. Did they have it? Did they find it associated with the starters or just like...
I just think they found those two types like symbols together in an image or something. I don't know exactly what it is. I don't know how data mining a website works.
Was grass flying also in that image?
Grass flying is already there because Rowlet is grass flying.
Okay, but what I mean is like, did they... So
it wouldn't be one... it would be fire, ground together in a single image. And then water fighting together in a single image. And then grass
and they
flying
found...
is already a separate image because Rowlet is already there too.
So it wasn't like... in this image, there's this, this, and this. You know, these three combinations to kind of, like, lead you to there. It's just like, there could be just a new ground fire Pokemon.
Yeah, that's what I'm hoping. Because Litten just looks like he wants to be a dark type. Because he's just so like, yeah, whatever.
He's a Hot Topic cat.
Yeah, he's a Hot Topic grumpy cat.
Yeah, exactly. And then Poppy is my sweet baby water puppy. And I love him.
The only other water fighting type I can think of is Poliwrath.
Yeah, it's been a while since 1-10. That's Gen 1, so... Well, let's see what Dexter has to say. Keldeo is also water fighting.
I thought Keldeo was part steel. I didn't think he was part water.
Nope. Water fighting. Both types. Both.
But it's just those two.
Yeah,
it's right? Just... Keldeo's a legendary.
Yeah, so it doesn't count. So yeah, it's just the two, which is pretty crazy. And they've never... There's only 17 types, and it's been 20-plus years since they had the last... water fighting combination, with the exception of a legendary.
Right.
That could be cool, though.
It could be very cool.
That'd be pretty neat. That's just one less thing that they can do to Rowlet, though, because grass flying is...
Like, yeah, so if this is to be believed, it seems like he's just staying grass flying all the way through. So just, like, watch out for those ice beams from Popplio, probably.
They're coming!
I don't know which one would be faster.
Oh, definitely... Definitely Rowlet, because it says in that little bio, like, he's so fast.
Okay. Because we have Noctowl, who's an owl Pokemon. He's not fast.
No.
No, he never went fast.
He never did go fast. because I think in that thing, it's like, he's super fast. You can't even hear him. He's so fast.
Oh, yeah, it does say that.
Yeah. So, like, I just gotta be like, I gotta just, like, stick one out, and then,
yeah,
like,
just
ice
take
beam
one
you
shot
to death.
Because I imagine Rowlet will be very fragile. Anyway, enough starter speculation. You had one more other thing. You wanted to say,
did I?
The Twitter boys.
Oh, yes. Okay, so this is not like, this is news as
this,
far
this
as...
This isn't really news, but we don't know where else to put it, and we want to talk about it.
We want to talk about it. So there is a Twitter account called Paper Beats Tweet. That's B-E-A-T-S, tweet. And the name is Paper Beats Scissors. And it's an artist from California. But they've been doing just these little goofy, adorable Pokemon things. And... The captions are the greatest things in the world.
They're all very good.
So here we're gonna go all the way back to the first one. There's some weird Ditto stuff in the middle, but we're gonna go back. We're gonna go back to Charmander, where it's just a grumpy little Charmander who's like about to stomp, and it just says a strong boy, a spicy boy, because he is a strong and spicy boy.
He is a spicy boy. If you look at him, you say that boy is spicy.
And then the next one is Squirtle, and he's got these, he's like mischievous looking, and he's got this like V for a mouth, and says, "Whose bubble boy is this? Retweet your boy." And it's just a little, it's a cute little Squirtle. And then Bulbasaur is just, "Does your boy have a bulb? If so, retweet." And they're all like that. And today, we got Gen 2 starters, most of them. So we got my boy Totodile. It says, "Wow, this boy has a big bite. If this ain't your boy, then beware." And then there's my big bite boy. I don't have to
beware.
He's
not my boy, so I am being aware.
You should beware. And the next one is Chikorita. And it's, "Plant this boy in a good spot and let him get some dang sun." And they're all just like the cutest little doofers.
The Chikorita just looks scheming. Because he's got little angry eyebrows. But the cute mouth.
Yeah, the cute like.
You would use a 3 when typing a emoticon. Whatever the type version
of an emoji is. Do you guys remember emoticons? But yeah, so just if you're on Twitter, I would just go to @PaperBeatsTweet, give them a follow, and retweet your boys.
Yep. Find your boys and retweet your boys.
Yeah. I just retweet them all because I love them all. I love all these little, these little guys. The funniest one, though, is a strong boy, a spicy boy. I have been calling everything either a strong boy or a spicy boy for several days now. And you would be amazed at how often it is relevant.
I would be. You're right.
Especially during wrestling. If there's any combination of two people, one of them's the strong boy and the other one is the spicy boy.
Enzo and Cass especially.
Enzo and Cass is the super example of a strong boy, a spicy boy.
Anyway.
Before that, those words lose meaning, we're going to end.
Yes. So now we have some islands to get to, but first we have a super special first time ever for Pokemon World Tour, Roots Lightning Round. So first up, those optional routes between Fuchsia and Lavender. Are you ready, Jake?
Yes.
First up is Route 12. It's a long man-made route of bridges that goes south from Lavender Town down to Route 13. Pokemon in the grass. Pidgey, Pidgeotto, Oddish, Gloom, Venonat, Bellsprout, Weepinbell, and Farfetch'd. You can surf for Slowpoke and Slowbro. You can fish for Magikarp, Poliwag, Goldeen, Tentacool, Krabby, Horsea, Yersedra, and you can also get Snorlax.
Okay.
There's also seven or eight trainers. Five of them are fishermen, and they're levels 21 through 29.
As soon as you said it's made of bridges, I remembered the route. Before that, I could not picture it.
That's Route 12.
Next up.
Route 13, a long horizontal route made up mostly of a fence maze. There's a small patch of grass in the northeast corner. Pokemon in the grass are the same as Route 12, plus Ditto. In Gen 2, you can get Nidorina, Nidorino, Chansey, Hoppip, and Quagsire, and Noctowl and Venomoth. In Gen 4, there's a Chansey Swarm. You can do a Hoenn sound for Linoon and Wismer, and you can do the Sinnoh sound for Bidoof and Buizel. And for trainers, they're about 12 to 15, depending on what game you're playing, and they are ranged from 24 to 30.
Okay, next up.
Okay, I don't want to just do all the talking, so if you have anything.
I don't on that one, because okay. I remember the fence maze. I don't remember anything else.
There's really nothing else. Okay. It's just the fence maze.
All right.
Route 14 goes south from there. It's a short vertical route with a high road that connects to Route 13 and a low road that leads to a patch of grass. So that one's a dead end with some grass at the end.
Don't take the low road.
Pokemon in the grass. I'm only writing the new one, so it's like the same as before.
It carries over from the last.
But also route. You get Skiploom.
Okay.
In Gen 2. There's nothing new in Gen 1, but in Gen 2, the Skiploom, you can fish for Staryu and Kingler. You can trade your Chansey for an Aerodactyl. In Gen 4, you can do the Hoenn sound to get Plusle and Minun, and in the Sinnoh sound, you can get Shinx.
That's the only ones for the sounds, isn't it? Nobody else comes when you play those sounds.
There are others somewhere. There's others in the cave later.
Okay.
There are 10 or 11 trainers made up mostly of bird keepers and bikers. In Gen 3, there's a pair of little girls for a double battle that don't make any sense why they're hanging out with bird keepers and bikers.
Okay.
Levels 26 to 33. Route 15 is real easy. There's no new Pokemon. Long horizontal path. So it leads west into Fuchsia with a north road with ledges leading to the west and a south road with ledges leading to the east. There are some grass patches here and there throughout the route.
So it's like a one-way on either side.
Yeah.
Okay. Cool. That's cool.
Okay. Run through Fuchsia. Head south.
Okay.
To Route 19. It's a short path with three ledges to jump down and like just a path next to them so you can get back up. So it's not a one-way. It leads to a small beach on the ocean. You can surf into the water and head west to Route 20. In Gen 4, there is a small island in the southeast corner. There's a TM on it. I forget which one. I think it's for Brian, but I don't remember.
We'll say Brian.
Surfing Pokemon in Gen 1. Tentacool, fishing Pokemon, Magikarp, Poliwag, Goldeen, Tentacool, Shellder, Horsea, Staryu. Gen 2, you can surf and also get Tentacruel, and you can fish for Krabby, Corsola, or Kingler. In Gen 3, you can fish and get Gyarados, Psyduck, and Slowpoke. In Gen 4, you can Rock Smash, because there's rocks up by the gatehouse, to get Krabby and Kingler. And there's a swarm of Clamperl sometimes.
Okay.
One more.
One more. Doesn't split, but we're doing it all up front.
Yes, this is Route 20. It's a long east-to-west water route divided by the Seafoam Islands in the center of it. In Gens 1 and 2, there is a small dock in the middle of the water on the west half. There's just like a wooden square.
Like a raft.
Just floating. Yeah, it's like a raft.
Like a raft.
In Gen 3, there are small bits of land breaking up the water here and there on the western half. In Gen 4, the whole south portion of it is like, I don't want to say a maze, but there's land. It's all connected, but it like strings off into different arms or whatever.
Sure.
It's the only new Pokemon here. In Gen 4, you can fish to get Chinchou and Lantern. There are 10 trainers, 4 on the east side, 6 on the west side. They range from level 28 to 35.
Done.
That's all the routes.
Nice. Okay. So before we move on to the Seafoam Islands, let's talk about these routes for a second.
Okay.
You don't need to go on them.
You don't.
You don't
even really need to go to the Seafoam Islands.
How would you get to Cinnabar?
You can fly to Pallet Town and surf and down.
Right.
That's the easiest way to do it.
I feel like as a kid I was not critically thinking that because I definitely went to the Seafoam Islands.
No, yeah. I think I surfed up from Cinnabar after that because I thought like new stuff would be up there. And then I landed in Pallet and I was like, oh.
I'm home.
I did it.
I do remember them now that you have said what is on them. I remember the maze. I remember the bridge path. My memories in my head are from Soul Silver, so that's got to be what they are. Can't be from anything else because I just don't have a mental image in my head of anything before that. Snorlax is on there, so that's neat. Like, that's the other place you can get Snorlax.
There is. And then on the first one, Route 12?
Yeah.
I think it was. There is a house. There is a house, like, all the way south. Or close to all the way south with a fishing guru in it, and he's the one that gives you the super rod.
Okay, so if you do want the best rod, you gotta go there.
You gotta go over there, but again, you can skip all that and still beat the game just fine.
Yeah. All right, cool. Let's hit up the Seafoam Islands. So we get past the cacophony of routes.
Yes.
We finally have made it to the Seafoam Islands. Josh, tell me a little bit about the layout. What does this place look like?
It's, you walk in, and in Gen 1, it's just a cave.
It's just one cave, right?
It just looks like a regular cave on the inside. But in Fire Red and Leaf Green, it's more icy. Like, it's white, it looks cold and snowy.
I feel like even in...
And in Gen 4, because in Gen 2, you can't go into it. It's all caved in or something over the 3 years. All that's in there is a tiny room with Blaine, and he's like, huh, this is my gym now. This is all that's
in
left.
In the Seafoam Islands?
In the Seafoam Islands.
So it's not until Gen 4 they move it back over.
In Gen 4, he's the top. You can go up a ladder in the Seafoam Islands, and he's up there.
I thought it was in Cinnabar.
No. The only thing on Cinnabar, spoilers for Cinnabar Island next episode.
We're still under the spoiler tag, so it's fine.
You're right, we never closed it.
Nope.
The only thing left on Cinnabar is a Pokemon Center and a bunch of rock because it erupted.
I thought like in the remains of the volcano. So I guess.
No, that would be really cool, and they walked right past it and kept him in the Seafoam Islands.
That's weird. So are we talking about his gym now, or are we going to do it next episode?
We'll talk about his gym in Cinnabar.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. So, yeah. So, in Gen 1, it still felt icier to me. I get, like...
When you get down, I think it's to either the Basement 3 or Basement 4. I think it's Basement 3. No, it's Basement 4. I don't think there's any water. But there's a lot of water.
Yeah.
Which I think makes it feel more cold.
I guess.
Because you're deep, you go down like 5 floors, and then there's a bunch of water. So that's not like warm water.
Right.
That's cold cave water.
Yeah. And I also did, this might also be the fact that like Soul Silver just literally overwrote all of the memories I had of the first two generations.
Yeah, I'm really close to playing that again. Alan and Shannon have been tweeting pictures from their heartful Soul Silver. So I'm like, oh, that's my favorite video game.
that's my favorite Pokemon game.
Yeah, it's easily my favorite Pokemon. It's Soul Silver. One of my favorite video games. I don't know if it is my favorite.
As soon as we get to Newbark, that's what I'm starting. Newbark is the first town, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, good. I was like, I said that. I was like, now I'm not confident. But it's all tree stuff in the second one.
Yeah.
As soon as we get to Newbark, I'm starting over and I'm going to play with the show.
Yeah.
Because I miss it. I want to get my big bite boy and I want to go on a Pokemon adventure.
Let's go back outside for just a second because there's one neat thing is that it's Twin Island. There's two islands.
Okay.
So there's one entrance on the east and then there's like whatever that round white buoy thing in Gen 1 is. It's,
right.
It's rocks in later generations, but whatever that is in between them, and then there's a western entrance, and they are identical islands.
Okay.
It makes sure to point that out when you look at it on the map in like Fire Red and Leaf Green. It says, these islands are like twins. It's weird, right?
Okay. Is there a point to that?
No, it's just like a neat geographical thing, I guess. It's like, just these islands eroded the same way.
It's just flavor?
They're right, or it eroded them like...
Down the middle?
Right down the middle. And so they're like the same shape.
Okay. That's neat. I like that it's just like, here's some flavor. Here's just some stuff about it. You don't need to know. Because a lot of games have stuff like that, and you're like, oh, this is unnecessary. Like, why is it in it? But like, I feel like in adventure games, unnecessary flavor is the most important stuff in the game.
Yeah.
Because like, that's what the game is about. Like, because Pokemon's an adventure game. Like, you know, straight up.
Definitely, yeah.
So like, little things are just like enhance the world in ways that don't need to be explored or talked about or need an origin.
Right, because stuff like this does happen.
Yeah.
So it's just a cool thing that happened in the ocean. Yeah. This island got eroded into two separate identical islands.
Yeah, that's pretty awesome.
Like I said, it goes down five floors underneath the ocean, and then there's like a maze of just like rocks and fast-flowing water. It's real easy to get turned around in there. I got lost my first time going through.
I feel like sometimes I have nightmares about being lost in that cave because of how often I was lost in there as a kid.
I never had nightmares, but man, did I get mad at the Seafoam Islands.
The first time going through it, it's rough.
It is.
Because there's just, it's like you can't tell. You just can't tell where you are.
Yeah, I mean, you just walk in. There's no guidance. It's regular cave texture, so it's darker.
Yeah.
You're just like, where do I go? I'm just going to walk around until I find a ladder. But then, like, some ladders lead up to dead ends. Some lead just, like, back around to where you were.
Yeah, and there's, like, a bunch of holes in the ground in places that you have to, like, drop boulders in.
Yeah, you can drop the boulders from the higher floors down to the bottom basement floor.
Yeah.
To stop the flow of the water so that you can surf on it.
Because there's, like, because this all leads to, we'll save it for the end, but, like, guys, you probably know what there is here.
Right.
But, like, it all leads to that, and so it does. It has no reason. That's optional. It's, like, a super optional thing, so, like, it has no reason to help you out.
And no, so, I think you do
so
need,
it doesn't.
You do need to stop some of them to progress. I think you need to cross some water at some point
to get to the other side. Yeah.
But you have to do a lot more to get to the special boy at the end. In Gen 2, we talked about it's mostly caved in. It's just the gym. The only time there are ever trainers in here are in Gen 4, and there's only three of them, and they range from levels 50 to 55. They're like, there's a couple snowboarders and a skier, because, like, it's snowy mountain.
Snow place. Snowboard kids are here.
That's about it. That's the Seafoam Islands. That's what's going on in here. You ready to talk about Pokemon? We gotta break it down floor by floor, but it's not as bad as that sounds.
Okay.
So in the first generation, on the first floor, just by walking around, you can run into... Because there's no surfing until Basement 3. Basement 3 has water in it.
Okay.
So the first floor, there's Zubat, Golbat, Psyduck, Golduck, Slowpoke, Slowbro, Seal, Shellder, Krabby, Horsea, and Staryu. All of those kind of make sense except for encountering Horsea on land.
Yeah, that's...
I don't like that one.
That one seems like I would help it. I'd be like, let me get you back to the water where you need to be.
Let me bring you back downstairs. And then Basement 1 floor adds Dugong, Kingler, and Seadra. Again, it's just all land. Basement 2 doesn't add anything new. Basement 3 has... You can surf now. Doesn't add anything new to land, but you can surf now. There's Tentacool and Staryu from surfing in the water, and you can fish for Magikarp, Poliwag, Goldeen, Shellder, Krabby, Kingler, Horsea, and Staryu.
Okay.
Basement 4 has all that same stuff and a super special guy that we'll talk about in our Pokemon Spotlight.
Okay, yes.
And then in Gen 4, Gen 3 doesn't do anything different. There's no Pokemon in Gen 2. So in Gen 4... The only new stuff is by surfing, you can get Seal, Horsea, and Slowbro in the water this time. You can fish up Gyarados. If you play the Hoenn sound, you can encounter Makuhita and Absol.
Those are new.
So those are new. And if you do the Sinnoh sound, you can do Chingling or Bronzor.
Okay. Bronzor is like a gear, right?
Bronzor is like a coin, and he evolves into a big bell.
Who am I thinking of?
Clink. You're thinking of Clink. Clink, Clank, and Clink, Clank.
Oh, Pokemon. Let's go back real quick.
Okay.
You can fish up a Gyarados?
You fish up a Gyarados.
Can you imagine?
With a super rod, obviously. You're not going to do that with a little stick and string.
A stick and string. Yeah, you got your real super rod. This rod is super.
Yeah.
Super
it's better
good.
Than good. It's super.
So you throw it in. You're like, yeah, I'm just going to fish a little bit. I'll probably just catch what I'm used to catching. Magikarp, maybe a Seadra. Who knows? Da, 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 da. Oh, it's a dragon.
Oh, it's a whole serpent, huh?
Oh, no.
Whoops. There's a video of someone on like a pedal boat or something out on some river, probably like an Amazon or something.
Yeah.
And they have like a fishing line in and they're pulling it up like doo-doo-doo. And then like an alligator head pops up when they get it to the boat. And he's like, oh, he throws the whole thing into the water and just pedals away as fast as he can.
That's what I would do if I was like, oh, I caught a Gyarados. I have to go.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I need to leave now.
Whoops.
Goodbye.
All right, so that is all I have. If you have any more questions about the Seafoam Islands.
I do want to talk about that puzzle real quick.
Okay.
The
boulder puzzle.
The boulder puzzle. So you have to have strength. Is it just like down one floor, or is it like you have to bring boulders down multiple
floors?
Some
of them have to go down at least two floors.
That's crazy.
But most of it is like push it down this hole, and then you drop down, and the next hole is right within eyesight.
Is there any way to like, I mean, I'm sure there is, that you can just get your boulders trapped. You can mess up real bad.
There is, but if you leave, they they reset unless they make it to the end.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
So they will reset to the farthest they have gotten.
Well, if you don't complete the maze, like if you don't get it all the way down to stop the current,
and goes back
to
the top,
and you leave a Seafoam Island, it goes back to the beginning.
Okay. I guess that's fair.
Yeah.
But do you have any memories of doing that?
Oh, yeah, I have memories of pushing rocks. I have a lot of memories of pushing rocks in Pokemon.
I feel like that was...
Gen 1 was just, like, all about that.
I feel like that was, like, a quarter of the gameplay in Gen 1, especially in the Seafoam Islands. I feel like I spent a quarter of the time playing that game
pushing rocks in the Seafoam Islands. Is a good 80% boulder pushing with 20% surfing, and then an escape rope, and you fly to pallet and surf down.
Yeah, and I have a well-documented bad sense of direction, so, like, I get turned around and lost easily.
Yeah, it's easily the most... confusing cave.
Yeah.
Maybe besides Victory Road, because Victory Road has a lot of paths that lead to just like big open spaces.
Yeah. We'll talk about those. But for this one, I just remember being like, all right, I'm going to go down a floor. I can't tell where I am now. How do I get back? How did I get here? What's happening? Like, you take a ladder, and like you said, like, it just leads to, like, back to where you were in weird ways.
Yeah.
And you're like, okay, this is cool. Let me try again. Oops. I don't like the boulder puzzle.
I don't hate it, but, I mean, I don't love it either.
Is it the same in Gen 4? Is there a boulder puzzle in Gen 4?
I don't remember.
Okay. Because I don't either.
I don't know how different the layout from Gen 4 is, because I only, like, went in there one time, I think.
Yeah, I only did the lap once, so.
Yeah.
Sorry, guys.
I mean, there's probably a boulder puzzle. That's like the gimmick of the Seafoam Island, right?
Yeah, that's half of what their thing is.
You
so,
have to stop the water, and then you get the guy.
So if you do the boulder puzzle, 6 hours after you start the boulder puzzle, you finish it.
Yeah, half of your total game time is you finish your boulder puzzle.
Seafoam Island's boulder puzzle. You get to the end, hit save.
It's Articuno! I hope you brought your Ultra Balls.
Lots of them.
Like 50 of them. That was always my number, which is have 50.
Just bring 50 of them, and then once you waste all of them, throw one Pokeball as a goof and it'll catch it.
And catch it. Or be a dummy, be a dumb little baby, and throw your Master Ball at it. Whatever you want to do.
Look, it happens.
Articuno is Pokemon number 144. It is the freeze Pokemon.
Ooh.
It's an ice flying type. It stands at 5'7" and weighs 122.1 pounds.
That is taller than me.
Not as tall as me.
That's a lot of Pokemon.
I think heights for the birds are wingspans.
That's still a very tall Pokemon then. If its wings are that wide, then it's got to be at least 5 foot.
He's a big bird. Yeah. He can get the abilities pressure, which doubles the opponent's PP use, so they use twice as much. We talked about that with
old Zappy Baby.
Zapdos. Its hidden ability is Snow Cloak, which increases its evasion by 25% if it's hailing, and outside of battle decreases the wild encounter rate in areas where it's snowing or hailing outside.
Right. That's a good name for an ability. Snow Cloak is a cool-sounding thing.
Yeah, there's Snow Cloak. There's a Sandstorm version of that, too, which I don't think is just Sand Cloak, but it might be. I know there's like Sand Rush that raises your attack in a sandstorm. Maybe it is Sand Cloak. I don't remember.
Either way, Snow Cloak is a cool sounding ability.
It almost sounds like Slowpoke. What's the story?
Snow Cloak.
Pokedex stuff. You ready?
I'm ready.
For this legendary birds Pokedex?
Oh, you built it up. Now I feel like it's going to be disappointing.
It's shorter than I want it to be, but I think there's cool stuff in here.
Okay.
It is known for its long, distinctive tail feathers. Its wings appear to be translucent and are said to be made of ice. Articuno is said to appear before doomed travelers lost in icy mountains. And as it flies, it chills the air around it, causing snow to fall in its wake.
That's pretty cool.
He's a very cool Pokemon.
Very cool Pokemon.
He's a cool boy. He's a chilly boy.
Here's what I want to know. He appears to doomed travelers.
Yeah, let's talk about your theory on Red.
So,
and how you think he's a ghost.
Well, yeah, number one, he's definitely a dead ghost boy. That's not what I want to talk about just yet. I have one quick question about this appearing to doomed travelers business.
Okay.
To help or just to be like, sorry, bro, and then fly away?
It's like the last thing you see is just Articuno like, shrugging his magnificent ice wings.
And then, like, you know that you're doomed? Like, do you just... Is that, like, a sign that, like, oh, I'm over. I'm done now.
That's the thing. It never specifies if he helps them or just, like, is a sign that you're going to die in these mountains.
Either way,
you catch him and leave. So
yeah.
So you beat him. You did it.
Yes. Catch him. Hope you had the HM for fly. Teach it to him and then fly away.
I don't do it anymore. But back in Gen 1, like every bird that could learn it knew fly.
Yeah.
Every Pokemon I caught that could learn fly had fly. Yeah, because birds fly, man.
That is true. Now, I think we should save that for Mount Silver. When we get to Mount Silver, because that's when it's pertinent. But also, Red's totally a dead ghost boy.
Right, because he saw the death omen in the Icy Mountains.
Yeah.
A little bit of trivia for you.
Okay.
In the gatehouse between Fuchsia and Route 15, there's a pair of binoculars upstairs. Gen 1 did this, and I don't know if any other ones ever did it again. You can look through the binoculars. They'll, like, say stuff.
Yeah.
There's one upstairs of that gatehouse that you can see Articuno flying out to sea.
Huh.
In which it just shows you, like, his sprite.
Right.
And registers it as seen in the Pokedex, which is cool.
Yeah. Are there any other that do that?
No. That's the only bird you can see that way. The other one, I think there's one up in the Lavender Gatehouse. If there is a gatehouse.
I think so.
Over in that area.
Yeah.
That corner of the map somewhere. Yeah. You can see Snorlax. There's a big fat Pokemon sleeping on the road.
Look at this tubby boy.
He still appears in those binoculars after you capture him.
Well.
Because they didn't like.
They forgot about it.
Didn't have the time to fix that. Yeah.
That's crazy. Because he's a legendary bird and you have. You see him. You have visual proof.
You watch him just fly out to the Seafoam Islands.
And that's your hint that that's where he is.
Yeah.
That's pretty awesome.
It might also be there because that's technically an optional area.
Right.
So if it's like, oh, you see this magnificent bird flying toward these islands, you're like, I gotta go to those islands, huh?
He's way up there in the Pokedex. He's gotta be special.
Articuno is also the last Gen 1 Pokemon to be seen in the anime. Not to be seen, but to be introduced to the anime. My notes are kind of bad with the verbiage there.
Right.
He's the only one not included in Season 1. I don't know when Articuno pops up.
Is it in one of the, like, the Orange Islands?
I think so.
Or maybe it's in the Mount Silver episode of Johto.
It might be. I know it in some, like, Battle Frontier season, one of the Frontier guys has one.
Has an Articuno?
Has an Articuno, because in the anime they are not unique. The legendary birds are like a species.
Well, that's pretty neat, but also a little disappointing.
A little bit.
But at the same time, I'm glad they don't die out when this one dies.
Yeah.
So that's good.
And Articuno is the only Pokemon besides Smeargle and Poliwrath. Poliwrath getting a lot of airtime today. That can learn an accuracy focusing move and a one-hit KO. So accuracy focusing move is, in this case, Mind Reader, which ensures that your next move will hit.
Okay.
And then you can combine that with Sheer Cold to just one-hit KO where,
instead of
on
like
that second
definitely
turn.
Probably missing with Sheer Cold.
Right.
That's pretty gnarly.
It is. There's somebody in one of the battle towers or battle chateaus or
chateau.
Battle subways or whatever.
Chateau.
I know, I said it goofy on purpose. One of the battle tower-type facilities that has an Articuno that can do that.
That sucks.
So just like...
Gotta get that focus sash, right?
If it hits you with a mind reader, just get a focus sash or switch out.
Or fly up.
Or fly up.
If you gotta fly.
Get
or
out.
Or dig. You gotta get out of there.
You gotta get out.
You gotta go. That's what we're saying.
That is it for trivia. So moving on to his origin.
Okay.
Its appearance may be based on the... And I'm gonna say this wrong, so I'm just gonna spell it for you guys.
I want you to say it.
Simurgh. S-I-M-U-R-G-H? Simurgh.
Simurgh
or Simorgh.
Like Seymour?
I'm getting...
So the GH is silent?
Simurgh.
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 Smaurgh.
Yeah, you know, your boy Smaurgh from...
Smaurgh.
From the legendary...
Anyway, the Smaurgh...
Hobbit of the Rings trilogy.
The Smaurgh is a mythological Arctic bird. It appears a lot in Iranian mythology.
Okay.
And probably some others. I didn't super research it.
That's fine. We understand.
Its long tail and small body may reference the Quetzal bird, which is like a real bird, a real genus of bird.
Yes.
While its entire appearance is very similar to the white-throated magpie jay, which is also a real bird that looks like an Articuno if an Articuno was kind of a blue jay. It's
okay.
A little crazy. Somebody looked at that bird when they made Articuno. They had to have. And its name origin is pretty obvious. It's a combination of Arctic, because it's cold, and Uno, because it's the first of the three, even though...
You find it second.
You find it second.
They should have called it Arctic Dose.
And Zapuno?
And Zapuno.
Zapuno.
Look, Zapuno is a pretty cool name.
It is. Artados is, it doesn't sound like a majestic bird. Probably because there's Ariados, which is a spider.
Right. Articuno definitely is the best sounding of, like, yeah. Moltres is fine. I like that one, but it's not as, like, pleasant.
And Articuno.
Zapdos makes a lot of sense because it's got two consonants right in a row, so, like, it's, like, ksh, ksh, like,
yeah,
thundery a little bit. Look at those guys. Look at whoever translated these. What does, did you have its Japanese name?
It's probably Freezer.
Freezer.
Which means freezer, one who freezes.
Or a little box above your fridge.
Or that guy from Dragon Ball Z, who has like 400 forms and spends 12 episodes charging up or whatever.
I don't know anything about Dragon Ball Z.
He has a brother named Cooler. Or a dad named Cooler?
I think it's his brother.
His son named Cooler?
I said as a
freezer
joke
and
it was...
Cooler. Dragon Ball Z is kind of a stupid thing, isn't it?
It's not to alienate any Dragon Ball Z fans, but like, it's kind of stupid, right? Like, I'm not going to apologize. I don't like Dragon Ball Z. So.
I don't like it either.
All right, is that it? Is that all we got?
That's it.
All right.
My notes are done.
Sweet. Let's move on to some nicknames. So we got several nicknames from Twitter. Very happy about this. First one, technically it's two. We'll do them in tandem. It's from our buddy Alan, who GMs.
So wait, one ball for both?
No, I'm just doing both of them.
Oh, okay,
at the same
time. I got you.
Rate them individually, but.
Okay.
Okay, so it's from our buddy Alan, who GMs the Pokemon World Tour United podcast. So he's got his first official submissions. This is a Rowlet named Dr. Who. That's the first one. So we'll do that, then I'll say the second one.
Okay, Great Ball.
I'm going to go with Great Ball also. Because I wish it was Dr. Hoot. Because I feel like that's where I would go with it. But I think it's still a great nickname.
Yeah.
And the second one is Popplio the Puddles, named after the sad clown.
Oh.
I'm giving it a Pokeball, because how dare you, Alan? How dare you talk to my sweet baby water puppy that way?
He is sad, because no one likes him, and that's a...
I like him.
That's a dang shame.
There's a whole sticker. Popplio Defense Squad, for life, for life.
I'll give it also a great ball.
I'm sticking with my Pokeball. This is how you know we're friends with Alan, because we give him bad grades. all right, who else we got?
We got two from Steph. They're both for Bouffalon.
Okay, is that how you say it?
Kind of as a joke, but it's going out that way.
Because I say Bouffalon.
Bouffalon. Shia LaBouffalon. That is not the name. No. I just said that. She has two. The first is Mary Clarence.
Okay.
That is what appears to be sent a picture of Whoopi Goldberg from Sister Act.
From Sister Act, yeah, okay.
With a big old afro.
Yeah.
And then the second, you want to do them separate or together? They're both similar ideas.
Okay, yeah. Just
okay. The second one is Stu, as in Disco Stu.
Disco Stu from Simpsons. I'm going to give... So it's Mary Clarence and just Stu.
And just Stu.
Okay. I'm going to give Stu an Ultra Ball, Mary Clarence... A great ball.
I'm going to give Stuart Ultra Ball and Mary Clarence also a great ball, but I'll agree with you on that.
Okay. I thought that there were no girl Tauroses and Bouffalons, but that's probably just...
Bouffalon is a buffalo.
Right.
He's not a bull. So
and
there...
he doesn't evolve.
No.
He looks like he should, though.
He looks like he should, but that would be a bull evolving into a buffalo, and we can only have one fish evolve into an octopus. That's all we get.
That's it. We blew it already. Also, they should just combine all them with the Miltank line, just, like, condense all your Pokemon, get weird, get less weird with it this once, for me, Pokemon. All right, so next up, we got one from James. His is... He always has an Absol named Venger after the D&D cartoon villain. Dark, badass, and cool sidehorn. So here's a picture of it.
Okay, I can definitely see that.
And it literally just has Absol's weird one sidehorn. I also unabashedly love that terrible, terrible D&D cartoon.
So I've never seen it.
I'm going to give this one my master ball.
Okay, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to give this one a great ball because the source material is lost on me.
It was... wacky. It was very goofy. It was based on like second edition D&D. These kids got transported to the world of Dungeons and Dragons, and they each had their own class, and they got a magical item to go along with that class, and like it was goofy, but I very much enjoyed it.
We have another one from James for a Doug trio. He says it looks like hot dogs, so I named him Nathan's because he's the best.
I'm going to go with the Ultra Ball.
I'll give that Ultra Ball, too. Actually, do you have any more?
I got one more.
Okay. I'm going to ready an Ultra Ball, but what's yours?
Okay. It's also from Steph. She said, just named my Shinx Luxo because it was evolutions, but also because, as Josh said, he's the closest to light type. And she included a picture of Pixar's first animated film, Luxo Jr. He's a light. He's a lamp.
He's a lamp. I'm a lamp.
I'm going to go with the Ultra Ball on that one.
I'll Ultra Ball that one and give Nathan's my Master Ball.
Okay. That's all we got. Time to move on. We'll tell you how you can send yours in at the end, but keep sending them. We enjoy them. Everybody, let's get some new names. Let's get some new people in.
Some new people sending
new
their
faces.
Names.
Yeah. Not that we don't appreciate
the also,
people who do.
Also still the same people.
Old people, keep sending them in.
Well, not old people, same people.
The same people.
I don't know anybody's age. So.
I mean, the old is in like the...
Right.
Already. The already people, you keep sending them in. And new people also do that too. Let's move on to fan interactions. Josh, what we got? What's up first?
So we started a new hashtag. Hashtag masterclass. What did you use your first Master Ball on when you were a dumb little kid?
We got some good ones.
We've got one from Steph. Fun fact about me, I've never ever used my Master Ball in any of the games. Even I don't know why. I have not used one in a long time.
I will use it on whatever the legendary is.
I will use it if something runs away. If it's like a legendary beast situation where you counter them and they leave. But most of the time, I'm just saving it in case I find a shiny so I don't screw it up.
Right. That's a good call. I think I just used mine on Xerneas. I caught Xerneas in Quick Ball last time.
Yeah. The legendaries, like the mascot legendaries, are getting a lot easier to catch.
I think that's the idea, is so that, like, you know, you catch them.
A lot of times now, and by a lot of times, I mean the last two times, maybe the last three times, like, if you've had to catch them as part of the story.
Really?
In X and Y, like, you have to fight Yveltal or Xerneas.
Right.
So just, like, make it easy to catch so, like, you can just move on.
I don't even remember why you had to fight them. It's been so long.
The Team Flare boss, Lysander? Is that his name?
Maybe.
He had one.
Simon from SSX Tricky.
Yeah, he had one in a machine and made it bad, maybe. You had to fight it so that it didn't...
Get better?
So that it didn't kill everything.
Even though...
Or... make everything alive so much that it died. I don't know what the point of having Xerneas, who was the life-giving Pokemon.
I love X and Y. Love them. Do not understand the story at all. Story makes no sense.
The story is Team Flare wants to kill everybody who does not pay them a lot of money and then start the world over again with that, like, all the rich and beautiful people.
Oh, it's a Moonraker situation.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, they literally want to blow the Earth up with a giant death laser and save only the pretty rich people.
And all they end up doing is making Deoxys, the most disappointing thing in Pokemon to me. Well, maybe not the most, but it's up there. Who else is on Masterclass? What else we got?
We got one from Alan. I was always the RPG nerd. All items must be saved until I need them, which then becomes never using them.
Nerd. I feel like that happens to a lot of people, probably.
That happens to me with stuff like ethers and elixirs. All the, like, PP recovering moves that you can't buy somewhere. I'm like, oh, I'll just save that for when I really need it. Or, like, max revives I'm real stingy with.
Yeah. Again, you should just be able to buy those, though, right? Like, you should be able to buy ethers from a store at this point. It's just an ether. It's just a potion, but for your PP. Like,
yeah. I think you can now.
Okay, good.
But I don't remember. They're renewable somehow. I'm just not exactly sure if you can buy them or not. And we got one from your brother, Scoot.
My little baby brother, who is taller than me and bigger than me.
He says, listening to the latest PWT podcast reminded me of the time I used a Master Ball on a horsey because I didn't have any Pokemon with Surf, and then I yelled at him for not using the hashtag. So then he came back with a follow-up tweet, continuing my last tweet, Jake saved me by turning my game off, hashtag Masterclass.
Yeah, this would have been... He would have been young. He would have been like in the eights, like in his eight or nines.
In the eights? Somewhere around the eights.
Yeah, you know, when you're just an idiot, top to bottom. And I was like, what are you doing? Just turn your game off. And don't waste it on a horsey. Scoot is a lot better at Pokemon than I am now, though. So, like, you're welcome, buddy. You're welcome.
I don't know. I don't think there were any more. I think that was all we've got so far.
I know Shannon used hers on, guess what? A Mew. Surprise, surprise.
How'd she get a Mew?
She said I used it on a mute. Maybe she did the glitch. She did the glitch. So here's the tweet from Shannon. I used my Master Ball on Mew. Shocker. I was scared to use it on Mewtwo. He had a tuna's name. Where was number one? That's a level of critical thinking that I did not possess as a child.
I knew that already, I think.
I feel like I knew...
Because I think they talk about it in the player's guide.
Oh, I didn't have that.
Which I just read as a book. So I am curious, though, how you found that Mew, Shannon. So let us know.
Must have been the glitch, I'm assuming.
Probably. But, that's what I'm assuming, yeah. Maybe you hacked it. I hacked a Mew with a Game Shark back in Gen 1.
So. I never used Game Shark on it because when you boot up your Game Shark, it says, hey, if you use this with Pokemon Red, Blue, or Yellow, it will your game up. straight up in, it's the only games on the list. Because Game Shark knew.
No, I just use it. Anyway.
That this game was held together by sunshine and dreams.
I use it, hacked a Mew in. And everything was fine. And then I fought Missing No, and then everything got messed up.
That's where everything went wrong.
I got cocky. I was like, you can't ruin my game. My game is perfect. And then it was not. It was not a perfect game.
Oh, no. My Hall of Fame is just all squares.
Just garbled up pieces of Pokemon.
Oh, yuck. So then we said something about ranking the starters.
Yes.
And Steph did that for us.
She did. She ranked.
She ranked her list. She made her list of ranked starters. So I think, have we retweeted that? I feel like we did.
Did we retweet it? We did not.
Oh.
We faved it. Retweet.
All right. So it's in there. So when you hear this, you can go onto our Twitter page, at PWT Podcast, and go check that out. If you guys have yours, send them in. I'm going to do mine tomorrow.
I'll do mine up soon. Send yours in. I'd like to do a bonus episode just of everybody's starter rankings.
And do some fantasy football type math
stuff.
Yeah,
so here's what we're
going
to do. We're going to hold off on it. We're going to just hoard these. Send them to us. We'll hoard them.
Yeah.
Until we get to 10.
Okay.
And then we'll do an episode.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
10 or
more. That.
Or hoard them like a dragon.
Yes.
Like a dragon type.
Like a Smeurg. Like a Smeurg of the dragon from the Hobbits. The Hobbit of the Rings.
All right. Are you ready for Steph's list, or are we going to wait?
Let's wait.
Okay,
let's wait,
we're going to wait. It's very different from ours. You can see it on our Twitter.
Yeah, just know that it's different.
It's very different from mine. She does a lot of stuff that I would.
She also included Eevee.
She included Eevee. You can if you want. I'm not going to.
It's in...
Because it's not one I could pick.
You could pick it in one of the... Not Coliseum, but the Gale of Darkness, Shadow XD.
You don't pick
like that.
Eevee, you get Umbreon and Espeon.
Oh, you do? I thought you got an Eevee and then it had to evolve.
No, you start with Umbreon and Espeon, because that whole game is all double battles.
That's weird.
That's Coliseum, I think.
No, Coliseum is just Pokemon fighter.
No, because Gale of Darkness is the one with Lugia on it.
Yeah.
And there was one before that. I think it was Coliseum on the GameCube.
I'm thinking Pokemon Stadium.
Yeah.
You're probably right there.
You're thinking of Stadium, and then there's Battle Revolution for the Wii.
Sure.
Yeah. Regular Pokemon battles are in 3D in my hand now, so
right.
I don't need these battle
I
arenas.
Would look, I'm super excited for the NX because I want a Pokemon game that I can play on my TV.
If you gave me a Pokemon Stadium game that had mini games and the gym leader tower stuff and all that cool stuff that was in Stadium with the Pokken tournament graphics, because those are beautiful.
Yeah.
I would buy that game and I would play that
for
one.
For sure.
But I don't need it now. I don't need just a regular stadium now.
Nintendo, I just want regular, I want Sun and Moon to also get an NX port so I can play it on my TV. Last thing we're going to talk about is Pokemon World Tour United, our RPG podcast that we do every other week. It's very fun. It's been called cute by two different people. So I'm thinking.
Who's the second person? I know Annie called us.
Shannon called it.
Shannon called us.
Shannon,
cute?
Yeah. Because
I'll buy that.
Because of friendship and then being embarrassed, just being nerds and stuff.
Yeah, and I try to cute up how dumb Cobalt is.
I get it. That's a good way of putting
it. Cute is what I'm going for.
Cute is what we aim for. That's what I feel like that was an emo band, but maybe I'm wrong. Anyway, the deal with that is that sometimes we have guests on. We have Shannon on for a good stretch of episodes coming up. We've already recorded them.
That's how we know they are good.
That's how we know they're good. They're very. It was real fun.
Yeah.
We're going to be playing with Sky. We're going to be playing with Annie and Jonathan. We're going to be playing with my little brother, Scoots. So anybody else? Oh, Matt also.
Okay.
Patron Zero Matt said in an email he just sent to Morphin Grey, he's like, I know this is the wrong email, but I would like to play. So heck yeah, we'll start that ball rolling too. I want people to be on in different capacities. Probably a lot of one-shot, like one-offs, because I'm selfish and I don't want to edit so many tracks all the time. Shannon was on because we're like, hey, let's do like an arc. Let's give you a character and introduce her because, you know, we're buddies. And also, like, we had a pretty good idea for what we should do. And it turned out pretty good. It turned out pretty good. So if you're interested at all, email us. We'll tell you how to do that at the end of the show. We'll put you in touch with Alan. You guys can start figuring out characters, Pokemon, and all that kind of thing. And then when to drop in, because that's, like, the trickiest part. Couple things. You got to be able to record yourself with, like, with a decent mic, please.
Something better than just, like, an onboard computer microphone.
Yeah, because, like, I just can't do it. I just can't. It'll drive me bananas unless you have a very good onboard microphone, which a lot of places, odds are you don't. Preferably, like, a decent microphone. Apple headphones probably would work if you can figure out how to get those to record. I don't know how to, but like they do that.
They do have a mic built
in.
They
have a mic built in. I just haven't figured it out yet because I'm kind of a dummy.
No.
Also, you need headphones so we don't hear us in your speakers and it ruins everything. And then you gotta be free on Wednesday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's when we start recording. Wink. that'll be funnier to you once you start playing with us. We're very prompt.
We're very prompt. No,
we're very prepared. Very prompt.
Yeah,
we're professionals, is what I'm saying.
I still haven't applied like 4 episodes worth of experience to anybody.
Yeah, do that.
I gotta do that before tomorrow.
Yeah, that's why I did it at the end last time. I was like, we're just going through. We're doing all these now. Also. In regards to Pokemon World Tour United, if you tell your friends about the show, like on Twitter or specifically on Twitter, because that's the only place we're really monitoring, but use the hashtag PWT United and you'll be a character in the game will be named after you. So that's pretty cool. Also, just like spread the word if you enjoy it and let us know if you enjoy it.
Yeah.
I want to know. And also, it might get its own feed soon, so we might like call upon people to like blast it with ratings and reviews so we get that new and noteworthy buzz, get that sweetness.
Yeah, that'd be nice.
That would be real nice. So we'll let you know. There will be a call to arms. I feel like we can trust you guys to do that for us because you're all pretty cool people.
Plus, Mount Moon Jail awaits.
Right. Ooh. So that's the thing. That's Mount Moon Jail.
Yeah.
So you have the chance.
You'd be stuck in there with Dr. Butts. You don't want that.
You don't want to be there with Dr. Butts.
What was his name? Seymour the Scientist?
Seymour the Scientist, a.k.a. jerk. Dr. Butts.
What a jerk.
That's it, though. That's all I got for fan interactions. And thus concludes another episode of Pokemon World Tour. Thank you guys for listening. We are on Tumblr, Twitter, and Facebook at PWT Podcast, though Twitter is the only one that's that's active at all. Those other two places do exist, though. Keep that in mind for maybe someday.
Go share some of our old episode photos. Tumble them. Is that what you do?
Reblog.
Why isn't it called a tumble if it's a Tumblr?
Look, it should be called a tumble, but it's not. It's not a perfect website, Josh.
Oh, I know.
And you can email us at pwtpodcast@gmail.com.
And we're on iTunes. You can head over there, leave us a rating and review. Help balance out the one bad one we got. That would be great.
Yeah, one bad rating, no review. They couldn't do it.
No, they just hate rated us.
I guess. Just, ugh. I don't think we're a one star. To me, a one star is like, I couldn't understand what they were saying because their microphones are made of tin cans.
Yeah, some guy was sitting 6 feet away from his computer, but using that microphone and just yelling. One star.
And also, he was racist. Like, well, that's a one star podcast.
We're at least a 2-star podcast.
Minimum, I would think. I think we're a 5-star podcast. I'm not going to lie to you, but.
No, but if you hate us, I think we're a 2-star podcast.
Yeah, so, consider doing that. We're also on Patreon, patreon.com/HeyJakeAndJosh. So if you're feeling generous, you can go to that web address that I just gave you, and you can kick a couple bucks our way each month, and in return, you get World Tour United episodes up early. Asterisk, they weren't very early the last 2 weeks, but I've been putting in the work, though. This is a long one, so, like, we'll see what happens. My goal is to get them up, like, a week early, but, like, that's future Jake.
It's going to take a lot of backlogging.
Yeah, exactly. So like, I got to get there first. But you get early episodes of that. You get the anime episodes a month or 2 weeks early.
They're a month.
A month early, right, because 2 episodes early.
So, we're just at the point where one goes up on each every time.
Right.
But so, they're a month ahead.
Right. Yes, month early, you get some stuff for our other podcast, The Morphin Grid, if you're into that, and the Spotlight episodes, which there will be one up before May ends.
Yep.
Probably on, like, the last day of May. Well, no, probably on the 30th, because you're going to be flying all day that day, so.
Yeah.
The Pokemon Spotlight's up will be up early, too.
It'll be up, or maybe it'll be the first one in June.
Who knows?
It'll be up sometime.
Well, if we're recording it tomorrow, right?
Yeah.
I'm going to have that edited by
Monday. It might be up now. It's not up now. Never mind. This goes up tomorrow.
This goes up tomorrow. No, of course it's not up now.
I'm on Morphin Grid time. Right. I think we have like 4 days.
No. I just do this day up. For the people who are already patrons, first of all, thank you so much. You're the best.
You are.
Like, you're just like the coolest. But all
That's
of
a
our,
wink and a gun for you.
a winky gun.
That's only for patrons.
Yeah, nobody else. Return it. If you took one, if you took a winky gun, please put it back where you found it. but the rewards and stuff for the higher up levels will be coming out in June, and I'm super excited to show you guys the Patreon exclusive t-shirt because it's pretty awesome. Shannon Maynor is doing the art, so you know it's going to be great from the get-go, but I think between the three of us, we've outdone ourselves. And by the three of us, I mean Shannon did all the work.
And we said, yeah, that's good.
And we said, what about this kind of thing? And she's like, well, let me make that a good idea, and here it is. And then we're like, yep.
Well, that part was you, and then the rest was just me going, yeah, it's fine. I'm fine with that.
But I am very excited. So that will be by the end of June. You'll have your t-shirt if you want this one. There's also a Morphin Grid one. You can decide between the two. And then we'll have some stickers, and we'll have some – is that it for – It's just those two things for Pokemon, right? Because there's no like certificates or anything.
No, that's it. That's okay. It for physical stuff. And we have like we have to make gyms for people.
And if you're a gym leader, yes. If you're a gym leader, we're gonna start in June, knocking out some gyms. So that's also something I'm looking forward to.
Yep.
Very excited about.
But those Pokemon are coming. So if you're a patron, keep an eye on your email because I stopped trying to get them all perfect. So I have like two boxes full of Cyndaquils ready to go.
Yeah, oh, you've had my Teddy Ursas forever.
Yeah.
They're all named and everything. They have at least four of their IVs are all perfect.
Yeah, that's how mine's going to go, too. Yeah. I was like, I'm just going to follow Gen 6 event rules and that at least three or four of the IVs will be perfect.
Yeah.
You guys will get what you get.
Yeah. They're from us, and that's...
They're from us. We are the original trainers. Yeah. They have cute nicknames. Mine are all... You're going to get trebles. So I'm sure you guys are excited about that.
They're all trebles?
They're all trebles because okay. I didn't want to make them all different.
Every single one of mine is a different ice cream flavor, so there's that. Our theme song is The Destiny Infinite by Darksword off the OC Remix album, the EVEP. That's DarkeSword. That's also his Twitter handle, and the album itself is ev.ocremix.com.
Check it out. It's good.
It's very good.
And all the background music and all that other good stuff that we use is from the Pokemon Heart Gold and Soul Silver Super Music Collection. Some of it sometimes is from Fire Red and Leaf Green Super Music Collection. Some of it sometimes is from Scoteen Pokemon Reorchestrated Kanto Symphony.
All of these are available on iTunes.
Yeah, and they're all like $10.
Yeah, for you to buy, and they're all very good. Scoteen's is top notch.
Very good.
So definitely check that out. And we're done. That's it.
We're done. Time.
We're out. So next week is World Tour United number 5. Week after that is going to be our first Pokemon Spotlight. We're putting it up in the regular feed early because Josh is going on vacation next week, so I don't really have time to record another one of these. And then the next time we're on the regular one, we'll be going to Cinnabar Island.
Yeah, so get hype for that.
Getting real close to the end of Kanto, guys. There might be a special...
So we have three episodes in between that. We got a United, a Spotlight, a United, and then Cinnabar.
Yeah.
So just like let that hype build.
Yeah, and then there might be a special contest. Maybe within 3 weeks, we'll be able to announce it because it might exist by then. So keep your ear to the ground.
I don't know what it is. Do I know what it is?
I've told you like 100 times. I'll tell you in a minute. Anyway.
I think I know what it is.
I've been Jake.
I'm Josh.
Until next time.
Smell you later.
That's not how we do it. We got the yips. We got the yips. We got the yips.
Oh, let me do it.
We got the yips.